Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Black Caucus Power to the People podcast. My name is Angela Fobbs. I'm the chair of the GBC, and I'm here today with Adrian George. How you doing today, Adrian?
Hey, power to the people, Angela. Good morning. How are you?
Power to the people. I'm doing okay. Just 15 more days to the election. I'm sure I'll live until then.
T-minus 15. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I can't believe it either. This has been a long slog for sure, but we are making progress for sure. And I just want to just talk quickly about the fact that you can still request an absentee ballot at votefromabroad.org, and you can still register to vote in many states at iwillvote.com if you're in the United States. Early voting has started in many states, and approximately, or at least, 27.9 million people have voted already in the 2020 election.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Last year at this time, only 5.9 million people had voted. So this is going to be a blowout election, and you don't want to miss this. Like, you want your voice to be heard. You want to take a stand. Because this is for everything.
This is the biggie, the big 2020. Right. This has not been a normal year for anything. So this election should not be normal either. If you're a first time voter or a reluctant voter or a voter that hasn't voted in a while, this is your year to get back into the game, Angela mentioned I will vote for, Americans who are stateside. If you go on that website, you can also create your voting plan to find out where your voting drop boxes are, where early voting is. Have a plan to see if you can do a mail-in ballot. If you're an overseas American like Angela and I, you can go to votefromabroad.org/ES if you want that information in Spanish. Request your ballot to come to you by email. That's right. What we did, right?
100% email. Like right now, even if the post office was running at capacity, which thanks to Joyless Louis DeJoy, it is not, it's still late. Like, it's still late to receive something in the post. So request your absentee ballot by email. It'll get there super fast. If for some reason you haven't gotten your ballot and you requested one, then now's the time to contact your local election office, and you can go to votefromabroad.org/states and get that information. And if you still don't get any satisfaction from your election office, then you can contact our voter protection team at voterprotection@democratsabroad.org, and they will you get straightened out. We have a lot of people that we know personally are working on this team, and they're doing great work. Really,
it's like a mission for them, because you know, one of the best feelings in the world is voting. Second best, I think, is helping somebody else to vote. But you know what, if you're from one of those states that require you to mail your ballot back to put, if you're overseas and you have to put foreign postage on it and put it in the mailbox and you haven't received your ballot, now's the time to send in a federal emergency write-in absentee ballot. Angela, they can get live help with that, can't they?
That's right. And you can go to live help on Tuesday, which this happens to be.
Today.
Yes, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday. And that information will be in the show notes on the podcast. So go, and so we'll vote from abroad. So go there, request your absentee ballot. Do not delay. This election is way too important to just let, you know, to just give up and be like, oh, I'm too late, I missed it. You're not too late. There's still time. And
you know what, Angela?
Important.
You know what, that reminds me of a new initiative that was launched with the Legal Defense Fund called Vote in Their Honor. Can go to their website, voteintheirhonor.com, because you're gonna vote for Breonna Taylor because she can't vote. Right. Emmett Till cannot vote. George Floyd cannot vote. Trayvon Martin cannot vote. That's right. Sandra Bland cannot vote. So if you're not sure why you want to vote, or not sure if you're going to vote for them. We vote because they can't vote. This has been a year of protest. We don't want these deaths to be in vain. This is the 100th anniversary of the women's right to vote in the U.S. We don't want the suffragettes' actions to be in vain. This is the year of COVID. We know that the discrepancies in the healthcare system have been exposed. This is not a year not to vote. The same thing with essential workers and pay equity. This is not, Angela, what are there some reasons to vote? There's so many reasons to vote.
There are so many reasons to vote. And one of those reasons, here we go. I know that Adrian is totally, and so am I, committed to giving you facts about the different elections. But here's a really good reason. And it's not one that most Democrats don't like to say, but Trump is crazy. He's a madman, and he's going to kill us all. He really is. He gave he was at one of his super spreader events in Nevada. And I mean, you know, he's always at these events without a mask on, despite the fact that we have no idea if he still has corona or not. Which is just insane that you have the president of the United States running around without a mask, even though he already had coronavirus. Like, so yeah, I mean, it's kind of a shame. He was at this rally in Nevada, and I just want to play really quickly. You know, I don't normally want to hear this man, but I just want people to hear what he had to say.
Okay, so now I can mute real quick. No, I'm teasing. Go on.
Yeah, okay. No muting. Like, all right. Here's what our president had to say about Joe Biden.
If you vote for Biden, he will surrender your jobs to China. He will surrender your future to the virus. He's going to lock down. This guy wants to lock down. He'll listen to the scientists. If I listened totally to the scientists, we would right now have a country that would be in a massive depression instead of, we're like a rocket ship. Take a look at the numbers. And that's despite the fact that we have like five or six of these Democrats keeping their states closed because they're trying to hurt us on November 3rd. But the numbers are so good anyway. They'd be even better.
Okay, so this was...
Okay, deconstruct that. Okay. Yeah. He said so many things that are hard to listen to for me.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, sometimes you gotta listen to what this man says. I mean, I don't like it. I don't like it either. But, you know, it's kind of my job to know what is happening. And what he's saying is that he's guaranteeing that he will never listen to any scientist because they would have us doing other things. He thinks it's just a lockdown and that if we didn't have a lockdown, then the economy would be going like gangbusters. This is not true. The economy is not going well. And it's because back in February, March, when a lot of people got laid off, those jobs are gone now. They're gone forever. They're not coming back. And that's a decision of corporations, not because of COVID. Of course, there are some positions like if you work, I mean, I think they have movie theaters open in the States, honestly.
That's a good question because I know there are some things that we think wouldn't be open are open, but again, it depends on the state, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But the fact that he won't ever listen to anybody, that he's constantly going on his so-called gut feelings, he has the worst gut feelings in the world. Like, he doesn't have any kind of intuition, honestly. I don't even understand why he thinks that he has good intuition. He doesn't.
Well, you know what? Can I, CNN is not his friend. So I'm going to try to find another source as well. But CNN says a frustrated and at times foul-mouthed President Donald Trump claimed on a campaign call that people are tired of hearing about the deadly pandemic, which has killed more than 215,000 Americans, and trashed Dr. Anthony Fauci as a disaster, who has been around for 500 years.
Yeah. He doesn't, of course, he doesn't want to hear what Dr. Fauci has to say. I mean, he doesn't want to hear, he says people are tired of hearing about all these, you know, people with COVID and whatever, but over 200,000 people have died. I don't even know what the right total is at the moment, but it is really headed towards 220. And under his leadership, over 100,000 people have died. Dying of COVID has become the leading cause of death in the United States.
That's so sad. You know, it's because we weren't going to come out of it untouched, but we didn't have to come out of it devastated this way. And, you know, when I do a look, a search now, that's the headline, Trump trashing Fauci, on whether it's CNN, New York Times, Market Watch, Washington Post, NBC News, NPR, the Swedish news. And that is very dangerous and scary to me. And I'm waiting for, you know, I don't think that in the scientific community that he can discredit Dr. Fauci. But the average American that will maybe really think, and I don't know if this average American, but the person, you know, we're normally, you know, civic minded, and we're really going to think that the leader is going to have our best interest at heart. And this is why it's very hard for me to digest this. It just settles so poorly, because that's, now it's different. He's taking it really to a different level of, then you, what the next step is, don't trust your doctor.
Yes, don't trust anybody who has any, you know, why don't we all just, he doesn't want us to have any kind of knowledge. I swear, have you ever read or seen The Handmaid's Tale?
You know, I know. And I don't know why that makes me laugh. I don't know why it makes me laugh, because I think I know where you're going. But I know the subject matter that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the other sort of pop culture reference that, have you ever seen Idiocracy?
Gosh, you're going from bad to worse.
It's a movie about 500 years into the future, and there are no more intelligent people left. And well, it's a satirical look, but it's turning out to be, I was talking to my mom a few days ago, and I was just like, she had never seen this movie. And when she was visiting here, we watched it, and, you know, as a family, we watched it, and, she was like, oh my God. And then she's like, yeah, I hope that never happens. And then here we are. Idiocracy is about where they've been frozen for some kind of a test for the future, and they're like not the brightest people on earth, okay? And that's not like a slam or anything. That's the premise. They're just average intelligence people,
right?
So they are kept in cryo, you know, a cryogenic chamber for 500 years, and it was actually a mistake. Like, they just, their project that was testing them got defunded, and nobody ever did anything. So their time capsules are, like, you know, hidden away, and something happens, and then these two people pop out, and and they turn out to be the smartest people left on earth, because they have even just a little bit of knowledge. So if you've never seen Idiocracy, I think it's streaming on Amazon Prime, but take a look at it, because that's where we are. We're in a combination of The Handmaid's Tale and Idiocracy. And this is not, I mean, I never thought, honestly, that this movie would become a documentary. Like, it was just a satirical comedic film about how our intelligence is going downhill. And but here
we
are.
I wanna say, if for some reason you're not a Dr. Fauci fan or you don't believe Dr. Fauci, I watched a news brief. I can't remember if it was CNN or the BBC or Al Jazeera even, where they talked with, I think, five to seven of the former Surgeon Generals of the United States, and each one of them agreed, some had been appointed by Republicans, some by Democrats. Each one of them agreed that the clear lack of leadership that's coming from the White House is the reason that this pandemic has been handled so poorly. So this isn't just Dr. Fauci against Trump. This is the leading scientific community, the brightest minds, the best doctors that we have in the States, recognize that science matters, the science about this matters, and the steps that we know that we can take to prevent them, like masking up, social distance, and hygiene, is not what the White House is consistently telling people to do, and definitely isn't what they're practicing. So I think we all know, no matter where you're living around the world, every country has a different way of dealing with it and or different stages of it. But don't go to, keep yourself safe. If you're voting from the States and you can vote early or by mail, do that. Don't wait to November 3rd to show up in the polls in a long line, maybe where it won't be safe to social distance. And plus, we know that there may be some intimidation at the polls.
Oh, gosh, so, yes.
As part of your plan, try to make it the safest, less stressful way to do that. We don't know is it called the Proud Boys, or who's going to show up, or what's going to happen on because as we get closer and closer to the polls closing, because November is now, voting is now. November 3rd is not election day. That's when the election ends.
Yes.
And as you say, in the tens of millions of people have already voted. So we don't want to get on the polar coaster. You know, we're up in certain states. We're not getting caught up in that. But as the more desperate as the campaign gets, we don't know what tactics are going to start unveiling themselves. So please vote early. Listen to Dr. Fauci. If you have to go to the polls, you know, make sure you have your mask, social distance. Don't get turned away from the polls. If you show up and your name is not on the register and you know that you're a registered voter, ask for and demand a provisional ballot. That is your right. You cannot be turned away from the polls. Make sure you have an ID with you. Demand a provisional ballot, and they'll sort that out later. But do not get turned away from the polls because they say you cannot vote, and you know you're a registered voter. A lot of places have you can vote at the, for example, I know DC voting, you can no longer vote, register to vote online, but you can register at the poll. So check that out as well, to see what your rights are at your state.
Yeah, that's true. Just, you know, and if you vote a provisional ballot, you have like, I don't know, a certain amount of time, 24 hours, 30, 48 hours. You have to go back and just verify yourself or whatever when you vote on provisional, or make sure that everything is okay. Make sure your vote is counted.
Like everything else in the state, it's state by state, but Angela's right. The main message I want to give, if you have to vote, don't get turned away. You know you're a registered voter. Do the provisional ballot and then run home or run to your car or check on your smartphone and find out, okay, what do I do next?
Yes.
Because we have to be vigilant. Same thing with if you're voting from overseas. Once you requested your ballot, track your ballot to see has it been received. A lot of states let you do that on the website. If you have to mail your ballot back, do it some type of tracked mail. Whether it's your country's certified mail process, or if you can afford to invest in your vote and use a courier service. A lot of them are offering discounts now, special deals. Just be proactive. Don't assume anything. Don't rest until you know your ballot has been counted, received and counted. Counted if they let you know that from your state. Again, a phone call may be for that, to make sure that you didn't do something wrong, like they didn't like your signature. Find out, okay, well, what do I do next? But be vigilant and follow up, because every vote counts. We know that. And your vote counts this year more than ever.
Yes, it counts more than ever. It's very important. Go to voteformabroad.org or iwillvote.com if you're in the United States. And register to vote, request an absentee ballot, verify that you are actually registered, because November is now. So if you live in a state where there's early voting, and ironically, there's not early voting in every state, you'd think there would be. But we definitely need a lot of reform to our voting system. So speaking of voting, let's talk about some candidates.
Yay! Yes. Ooh. And we are unabashedly Black and Proud, Global Black Caucus, Power to the People webcast, podcast, and we're looking at a handful of Black candidates. Disclaimer, this isn't a complete list. This isn't every state and territory. But yeah, we wanted to say some names and prod you to see who's on your ballot. The research. What is it? Ballotpedia?
Ballotpedia, myballot.com.
Ballot Ready.
Ballot Ready. Yeah, you can go to all these different places and find out who's on the ballot. You can also go to your county Democratic Party, and they should have a sample ballot also available for you.
The political section of your online newspaper for your city or state should have all of this. There are tons of resources. We just hope to be one of those many resources available to you to research candidates. So far we've looked at justice candidates.
That's right.
We've looked at senatorial candidates, U.S. senatorial candidates. Did we do the U.S. congressional candidates?
We did some of them, yes. But
we did some of them.
We did some of them, but because there's a whole bunch of them.
There's a whole bunch of them.
There's a whole bunch. So we're gonna.
And there's a whole bunch of us running for office.
That's true. There are a whole lot of African Americans running for office. So that's really great. And we should 100% vote. I feel we should vote for Democrats up and down the ticket. That way we have more control over things. You know, I know that a lot of Democrats don't, you know, what do they say? We're like herding cats. I mean, which is true. You know, I'm one of those cats that won't be herded. But
willingly.
Yes, willingly. That's right. But sometimes, you know, it's very important that we have a lot of control so that we can get a lot of things changed. You know, we need governors. We need people in the state Senate and state Congress. You know, we need to control the federal government, because that's what the Republicans do. They turn into like, what is that? Is it Voltron that all comes together? Comes together to form, like they come together to form a big, like big fighting machine. And that's what Republicans do. Like they all, you know, transform into like one big giant thing. And we're just like, I'm an individual, look at me, you know? And
you know what we're gonna do, Angela, right now? Yeah, we're T-minus 15, but once the election's over, we're gonna talk about, you know, your responsibilities don't end just with voting. The next step is holding your representatives accountable and letting them know what they should be doing for you and your community.
Oh yeah, 100%. We have to let our representatives know what we want, what we feel, because if we don't, I mean, we're still gonna have to fight. There's no way that we're gonna get around this. We're going to have to fight. And if we don't fight, I'm not even gonna say we don't fight. We're going to fight, because that's what we have to do in order to make the world a better place.
Well, we as a people, we're used to fighting. Have we earned anything without fighting for it? Have we made any gains without fighting? What's been given to us? Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
So that's, you know, that's, we do that. You know, how we do it changes, but and as soon as we get complacent and think we don't have to, boom, you know, you're reminded. So that's the thing. You know, I know we're tired and, you know, Fannie Lou Hamer, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, she said that decades ago, and it rings true now. But you know what? And I think it was Coretta Scott King that said, every generation has to fight for civil rights. You know, so this is our time. We have to do it. And it's no rest for the weary. We just keep moving. So the main thing, the first thing we're doing now, we have to vote. And we've been voting, luckily, proudly, I guess I can say, since 2017 and the way what we did in 2018, a lot of women that we voted in, a lot of women of color, men who are progressive, Native Americans, people with disabilities, veterans, you know, the Americans are not easily knocked down. And if we do get knocked down, we get up. And yeah, we've been voting blue since the 2017, you know, from the Women's March to special elections, to the midterm elections, to now 2020. And we're going to have historic turnout. And the reason I say that is because, as you say, Angela mentioned, we're already, almost five times voted more now than, and you're going to vote too. When I say you, people who haven't yet voted, your day is coming. Your time is coming. Go to votefromabroad.org to get your overseas absentee ballot. Get it sent to you by email. If you have a vote state and you haven't received your ballot or submitted a ballot, send in that federal write-in absentee ballot. That's otherwise known as a backup ballot. Angela, that help again that they can get live?
Yes, it's live help is on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday. And again, the links for all of that will be in the show notes on the podcast. So yeah, let's talk about some of these candidates. We could just talk about quickly run through this nice little list. We have a couple of candidates in Arizona's House of Representatives District 6, we have Coral Evans. And on District 4, we have Geraldine Peten. These are two great candidates, two great African-American candidates that would be great to be in the Arizona House so that maybe we could have some progress in Arizona instead of what we've got now.
Well, Arizona is interesting, isn't it? That is, we know, former Senator McCain's state.
Yes. And his wife, Cindy McCain, has endorsed Joe Biden. So that should hopefully go a long way. McCain was a respected figure in Arizona and throughout the world. The fact that his wife, and I don't know if people remember John McCain's funeral and how, Donald Trump
every
is
living
seriously
president was there,
except
right?
for Donald Trump. And
he wasn't invited, I heard.
He wasn't invited, but I wouldn't invite him either. I mean, the man was a POW in Vietnam, which is horrifying, actually, to think about. You know, if you were a prisoner of war, such a terrible conflict, and then to have somebody who didn't even serve. Like, he wasn't even like George Bush, who served in the Army Reserve, you know. He didn't serve because he had bone spurs. So, no.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I think that's just something rich people make up so that they don't have to, like, do anything. They don't have to be drafted. Like,
because I'm still thinking there could be some service you could do. You know, the Army's the military is a big complex mix. Okay, have an office job, something.
Yeah, this is true. But Trump was, you know, his father didn't want him in the military. And here we are. So Arizona, we're trying to turn it blue. And voting for these two great representatives, Geraldine Peten and Coral Evans, will be a good start to get that blue going.
Yeah.
So next we have Arkansas, and we have two candidates there in the state Senate. District 27, we have Kedra Burrell, and also in District 1 for State Senate, we have Ronette Francis. Again?
Ronetta Francis.
And again, these are two good Democratic candidates that will help another state Arkansas, that isn't the most blue state ever, but we need to turn these places blue because, or at least have these people, the people in these districts, be represented by Democrats, because there are Democrats in all these states, all these red states. So,
and what's important about these local and district, you know, they kind of decide, you know, what's going to happen in your day to day, like what's going on with education and living wages and infrastructure and the other, you know, justice system, after school programs, you know, they work in conjunction with all the other city municipal officers that are voted in. So these down ballot, these, you know, your state senate senators are very important candidates. So don't overlook those.
Yeah, definitely don't overlook anybody, because every vote that every person that we get in to a state senate is a person that could be potentially one day in the U.S. Senate. You know, absolutely. This is like, think of it like the farm team, you know, this is where people are coming from. They're coming from their state senates, their city councils, all these things. And we need people who actually care about America and Americans, not that they're pretending to care. And then when it comes down to it, I mean, they don't want to do anything for anybody except tell you to pull it up by your bootstraps. And, you know, you can do everything. Of course we won't support you, but hey, no big deal. Okay. We have one in Colorado. We have Rhonda Fields. She's in Colorado State Senate District 29.
Yeah.
Please take a look at her if you're in Colorado. And in Delaware, we have Marie Pinckney, and she is in Delaware State Senate District 13.
Yep.
Also,
Florida, your state, Florida. Yep.
That's right. Good old Florida. Mostly known these days, since Jeb Bush was president, mostly known from the phrase, a Florida man.
That president, what was he? He was your governor?
He was the governor. Yeah, he was the governor. Like, I think he was elected to be the governor, like, right maybe the year that I left or the year.
Said, you are missing. Was he a good governor?
I'm going to go with no, but I mean, he wasn't like the worst governor, but you know, I mean, I remember the first bill that somebody in, this is what Republicans always do. The first bill that somebody wanted to pass when he was governor was a bill to make country club memberships tax-free.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. And I definitely, you know, I've always been a person that's like writing their legislature, writing Congress. And that was like, I remember writing a letter about that. I'm just like, you know, if there's nothing that says you have to join a country club, why would that be tax-free? And then I got a letter back from them saying, yeah, don't worry about this. We're not going to pass this. I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah, because that's just, you know, if you want to join a country club, there's go right ahead. But why should it be tax-free? Why should I, as a citizen, have to pay for your membership to a country club? I just
interesting. Never, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he wasn't the worst, but you know, anytime you have a Republican in office, all the people that are, I'll just politely call them kooks, come out the woodworks and they're like, oh, here's some interesting legislation. Let's do some weird stuff, you know? But
politely, that was polite. Okay. we're going to stick with polite conversation and go into Georgia.
Oh, well, wait, we didn't talk about Chevron Jones. He is in Florida District 35 for the Florida
State Senator. State yes, Senate. Yes. Chevron.
Yeah. And so Georgia, we've got two candidates. Don't we know Nakima Williams?
I swear I know the name. Why do we know? Has she been a guest on one of your webinars?
I think so. Or actually, I think, didn't she speak at the Black Lives Matter vigil?
She may have.
Like, yeah. So if it's who I'm thinking of, yeah, definitely vote Nakima in. She's awesome. And she's in District 2039. And tell me how you say the next lady.
You know, I was looking and Miss Jones, forgive us, but I think it's Metallin. Or Mady Lynn.
Yeah, Mady Lynn. Mady Lynn Jones. She is in Senate District 45.
And you know what's been going, you know, there's been some crazy stuff happening in Georgia. The guy, I can't, and here's again, so horrible, I can't remember his name, but the police shot him in the back when he was running away. He fell asleep in the drive-through.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm gonna look that up to see what his name is because
that's, you know, horrible.
But there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens in Georgia. Well, now that we've got, especially now that they've got that governor that should actually not be the governor.
Stacey Abrams got robbed.
Yeah.
She got robbed, but Georgia, yeah. So again, representation matters the Georgia State Senate. And these two women are putting themselves forward as candidates. They deserve serious consideration. Look them up. Well, Angela's gonna remember that brother's name.
Rayshard Brooks.
Yes, Rayshard Brooks.
A 27-year-old man who was fatally shot in a drive-through.
That was a hard one for me to explain to my husband. He couldn't get it. And my cousin lives in Atlanta and he had her on the phone and we just couldn't get it. He couldn't understand that.
Well, it's difficult to understand because it's not logical. It's irrational. You know, the police are constantly shooting people because of fear or whatever. And I don't believe any of that. I don't think you're the police. Why would you be afraid? I'm if you're really that afraid of everybody, then maybe you shouldn't be in the police, you know? Maybe you should do something else where you don't have to actually encounter citizens, you know? And because if you're going to encounter them and every time they look at you, you're going to be like, oh my God, I'm so frightened. I'm going to have to kill you now. Like,
yeah, that was a tragedy. Illinois.
We have Robert Peters. He's in Illinois State Senate District 13. Yes. And next is Indiana. Mike Pence's state. But we're gonna, you know, there's been a bunch of people working in Indiana since the 2016 election on turning more of it blue or turning it blue. There's been a whole group of people that have been working on that, trying to get out the blue vote in Indiana. So we might have some interesting results from there. But yeah, definitely Robert Peters, Senate District 13. I'm sorry. For that was Illinois, and for Indiana, we have Belinda Drake. She's in Senate District 32. You know what I'm always surprised at is how many districts there are in various states. Indiana is not that big of a state. Like, it's not that big, but they've got at least 32 districts. So
big enough.
So we've got next New York. We have four Senate seats in New York, state Senate seats in New York. Senate District 20 is
Zelenor Myrie.
Sorry, ooh, language.
I know. And this is, sometimes I feel like I've been in Sweden too long and I start saying things the Swedish way or...
I know what you mean. I have this problem too. In German, all the syllables are pronounced.
Yeah.
And in English, we don't syllables. We just have some letters and, you know, and that don't have any necessarily bearing. So yeah.
I think Zell Normyri, and forgive us if we know you're looking to represent District 20 in the New York State Senate. We're rooting for you.
That's right. Then in District 55 in New York, we have Samra Brooke.
I'd say Brooke.
Brooke. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great. And we also have in Senate District 19, Roxanne Persaud.
Is that French? Roxanne Persaud.
Persaud. You say potato, I say Persaud.
We say vote for Roxanne.
Vote for Roxanne, 100%. And yeah. Then in the 25th district, we have Jabari Breezeport.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely vote for him. And North Carolina, we have in Senate District 39, we have DeAndrea Salvador.
Yeah.
And also in Rhode Island, we have Jennifer O'Rourke in District 29.
A sister in Rhode Island. Yeah.
I know. Rhode Island's such a small place. And also in Wisconsin, District 6, LaTanya Johnson.
Yeah. And we know Wisconsin is, it's been a hot spot, huh?
Yes, it is. I've been reading a lot about that it's just getting worse there. It's very sad that we don't have an actual plan with a real government and a real president who even like remotely thinks about the country. I swear, the one of the worst things about Donald Trump is that he doesn't think about anybody but himself.
Is there anybody listening to this call that thinks Angela's a Trump fan?
I am not. I am not. I am not at all. And I don't. There's nothing. I find nothing positive or redeeming about him as a human.
Well, you know, I think you're brave because he scares me, and for so many reasons. And you know, I don't know. You know, it's like I'm living in a, like he's creating an atmosphere of fear and doubt and mistrust. And I think you're brave to call him out so clearly as you do. You know, I choose to not even say his name. It's like Voldemort, you know, he cannot be named.
You know, one of the reasons, okay, there's a more than one reason why I'm so like fervent about this. But the main, one of the big reasons is, I don't know if you're familiar with Tim Snyder's book, the first one that he came out with, I can't remember, but it had like 12 steps in it. Hold on, I will.
Tim Snyder.
It was called, Tim Snyder. It was the one on tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century.
Yeah.
And I read that book. It's a real small book, but it came out right after Trump was elected. Like Tim Snyder is this historian that does research on authoritarian governments and the Nazis in World War II and things
like
that.
And who would think an American president would be a subject of one of his books?
Well, it wasn't exactly about him per se. Okay. It was 20 lessons from the 20th century. So the lessons were, there's like, 20 lessons, and you, on different things like that had happened in other countries, you know,
so that
we could take, it's an excellent book. It's super short. You know, it's like, just like, it's like 20, like really, like each has like small chapters about each thing. And one of the things in this book is to not yield your power or conceal your thoughts or, you know, hold back what you mean to say on purpose. You know, a lot of people, when there's danger, they're like, oh, I don't want to say that, you know, because I might get in trouble. But you should not self-censor yourself because you're afraid of this person. You know, we're not at the point yet where people are being jailed or prisoned. So while I can still speak out, I'm going to speak out until this man is gone, because he is destroying our country and he is destroying the cohesiveness of our nation. I mean, you know, which was a little dubious in the first place, but at least we all felt like we were Americans. And Trump has done everything that he can to separate people by race, by socioeconomic class, by gender, whatever you have it, whatever divisions they are.
Well, who you love, who you choose to love.
That's right. And it's just, you know, it's wrong. And so
if you believe in science or not.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to always speak out, and I'm not ever going to stop. Seriously, I'm not ever going to stop, because this man has to be stopped, and we are the heroes that we have been looking for. We don't need someone to save us. I mean, obviously, that's not going to happen. I mean, if you think about the impeachment, if you think about everything that's happened so far, all the things that he's done, and nothing's ever happened to him, this man is not Teflon. But we have to get our fellow citizens to realize that we are the change, and we.
Which is why you got to go to the polls, and your superpower is your vote.
That's right.
Exercise your vote. Go to votefromabroad.org. If you live abroad, /ES, if you need that help abroad in Spanish, go to I Will Vote in the States, make your voting plan, get 5 other people to vote with you, do it now. The polls close November 3rd. Do it now, vote early, vote safely, vote by mail where possible. If you are overseas and you have to return your ballot by mail and you have not received it, or you have it and haven't posted it yet, if you have it and haven't posted it yet, consider using the courier service, definitely certified mail. If you have not received it yet, use the federal emergency write-in ballot. If you have any questions about this, you can get live help today, tomorrow.
Yeah. Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we're going to be doing live help all the way up until, you know, up until election day. So, you know, because there's still possibilities for even at the last minute to get your ballot back. But yeah, don't ever let anybody, we don't have to wait for somebody to save us. It's not necessary. We can do it ourselves. And that's what we're going to do in this election. We are going to save ourselves and not have to endure the constant. You know, I mean, I understand why people don't want to hear this man's voice. I don't like it either. I mean,
I'm among those.
Such a whiny little, and I'm not going to say what I want to say, but you can imagine. And because he's just like, oh, people, they don't like me. They're, you know, Antifa and all this. I mean, it's just like, you know what? When he starts mentioning Antifa, I'm just like, yeah, the United States was the original Antifa. So,
yeah.
My grandfather fought in World War II to preserve our country from fascism. So no, I'm never going to say Antifa is a bad thing, you know, because it just stands for anti-fascist.
Well, and you bring up another subject. He doesn't have the respect for military. At least he hasn't shown it through his words when he talks about the women and men who serve.
No, he doesn't care. I mean, if you recall the bounties that were placed on people's heads, that in Afghanistan, and he just never said anything to Vladimir Putin about it, which is just unbelievable. Like, what? You're not even going to bring it up, you know? But instead, you bring up, oh my God, when we have to talk about this, well, maybe we don't have to talk about it, but we should talk about this controversy that he's trying to, he's got his October surprise. With this Hunter Biden laptop thing. And I just, you know, they are so sad. I
thought the COVID was his October surprise.
Well, yeah, the COVID, the fact that Amy Coney Barrett. Like, we have a lot of, like, the whole, every day is October surprise. Like,
does Democrats abroad have a tiny action people can do right now? Because this Senate hearing for the Supreme Court, I don't know when that vote's going to be, but I think we have a tiny action.
Yeah, we do.
Contact their Congress. I'm going to look now to see if you go to Democrats Abroad /tiny_actions, you can always see what's going on with issues in the states or issues that pertain just to us. But you can demand senators wait for SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States replacement until 2021. And then they break it down for you, what you can do and how you can do it, and give you all the tools. There's no reason to feel powerless or hopeless or feel like you can't do anything. One thing I do know from going around Capitol Hill and doing door knocking with Democrats Abroad is that when you reach your senator or your congressperson, they listen to you. You may not get through to them, but they have staff who log everything. They live and die by what their constituents message them, because that's how you're going to vote them in, keep them in, or vote them out. So you have the power. And especially if you say, yes, I'm an American abroad, and you took the time to contact them from far, far away. So if you're worried about what's going on now with the proposed replacement for Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like I am, Angela is too, aren't you?
Yes, I am 100% worried about that. I mean, really, there are so many things that have occurred that I really, I mean, all these things, Brave New World, 1984. I'm just like it's like the Republicans just took, you know, they went through all the dystopia literature and then they're like, that sounds like something good. Do this. That's what it seems like. I mean, really, this woman, her, like, The Handmaid's Tale wasn't based on her sect, but it was based on a really similar one. Then they called the women handmaids in this sect. And I'm just like, could that be any scarier? Like, yeah.
Well, 2020, the only way 2020 can get scarier is if we don't turn out in record numbers at the polls and vote them out.
That's right. We have to do it. And there are people who are standing in the cold. And if you live overseas, you don't have to do all that. You can sit in your home, in the comfort of your home, whether you live in a place where it's hot right now, or a place where it's cool. You can be comfortable, it's super simple, and just vote. You can have your ballot sent to you by email. So you don't have to experience any of the inconveniences that other US citizens will have in order to vote. We're in a place of privilege, and with privilege comes responsibility.
And you have to remember that the overseas vote is the margin of victory. It's so many elections. So make your vote count. Be one of the millions of Americans that are going to vote from abroad this year. Flex your muscle, support your state, your loved ones that you have at home. Your vote matters. It matters tremendously. So, Angela, I was looking for some cool music to play as we dance down out of here.
Yeah. Did you find something?
I think I found something. Was there anything else that we had to remind people about today? Can say one more time about the voting help for sure.
So there is online one-on-one voting help on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday. So if you need help, and if you can't go to any of those help sessions, you can, once you get on the page, it's in the show notes. Once you get on the help page, there's an email address, which I don't even want to say it because I don't know that I have the right email.
We have so many, whether it's voter suppression, voter registration, you know, we've got experts that know this stuff frontwards and backwards for all the states. So Angela, yeah, we'll put the correct email in the show notes.
But yeah, just remember, like, vote. And if you haven't received your ballot, you have to take action to do something. So you can contact your local election office and get some, you know, find out what's going on. And you might have to pick up the phone and call them, but it is well worth it. You know, 20 years from now, when Trump is hopefully dead, and
Angela,
what? I'm not one of those people that's just like, I mean, he's 70 years old. Do you think he'll still be alive in 20 years?
He could be.
Yeah, he could be. But it's possible that he won't. So,
but we're not hoping either way.
No, okay. She's not hoping that he's dead. And I'm not really hoping it either. I'm just saying that if you're that old, it could be that you're dead in 20 years.
And it could be, and what we know, tragically, if you're Black in America, your life could be taken at any time.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, there's plenty of people that shouldn't be dead that are right now.
Yeah. And a lot of those people never had a chance to vote. So
they did not.
Make sure you vote. Yeah. We're voting because they can't, and we're voting because they couldn't.
That's right. And I'm voting in the memory of, as I always do, my grandmother died in 2015. She was 93.
Wow.
And, I vote because people her age didn't have, when she was young, she didn't have the ability to vote. You know,
no.
So my grandmother grew up in Texas, and you know, Texas is almost Jim Crow now. So I don't even know what it's like and what it would have been like then. But
yeah, my grandfather was from Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. So I vote for all the people that have marched and strove to make it possible that I can vote. And that might sound kind of like corny or something, but it's the truth. People, honestly, for the majority of people in the United States, someone, somewhere, fought for your right to vote. Somewhere. It doesn't matter whether you're Black or white, Hispanic, Asian, you know, or Native American, or anything else. Someone fought for this. And so we have to preserve that right by acting now. Act now, do not delay. And I'm gonna get off my soapbox because it's getting late. And
well, you know, that's what soapboxes are for. But we're gonna dance on out of here with the knowledge that we did our best today to encourage people to vote, give them avenues, inform them about candidates, encourage them by letting them know that tens of millions of people have already voted, that they need to join that wave. And we're gonna see you tomorrow, right?
Okay. Crank up the music, Adrian. We're out, everybody. Have a great day. Everybody vote. Peace. Thank you.